What I would like to do this morning is sort of bring to you a few thoughts from Acts 16 and weave through that sermon what we're doing presently in the work of the Belfast City Mission. The first thing I want to bring to you is this in verse 9 of Acts chapter 16 is that there's a godless that we need to reach. There's a godless that we need to reach. You see, Paul and Silas and Timothy are on this, of course, missionary journey. And I found it strange when I read through this chapter over and over again how that they, first of all, try to enter into Asia to preach the gospel. And the Spirit of the Lord forbade them. Put up a barrier that they would not go into Asia at this particular time. And so they moved on and they tried to preach the gospel in Bithynia. And again, they were stopped by God from entering Bithynia. I'm sure sometimes we ask ourselves questions, well, why do these things happen? The people in Asia needed to know, the people of Bithynia needed to know the gospel. Why did the Lord stop them going in at this particular time? Well, of course, the answer is God's ways are not our ways. God is sovereign. And then, during the course of a particular night, Paul had this vision. It's what missionaries often call the Macedonian call. And it was a very graphic vision, whether it was a vision or a dream, we don't know, but Paul sees this man from Macedonia. And we can nearly see the man waving Paul over, come over into Macedonia, come and help us. Because of course in Macedonia, there was a godless people that needed to be reached, and in God's sight, this was the priority at this particular time. And we in Belfast and in the ranks of the Belfast City Mission, our aim and our desire is to reach the godless. As we often say, the churchless and the Christless and the careless for Christ. There's a godless people that we need to reach. First of all, when we knock doors, you never know who's coming to your door, aren't you? And we find more and more as the years go on, people who are apathetic. Not only in the town, but I'm sure here in the Hockle. The apathy in the world around us. You see, friends, people are more interested in material things in these days. Secular things, worldly things. I remember hearing one of the Presbyterian ministers, and he was having a mission on the Donegal Road in a big church up there some years ago in Richview, actually Presbyterian. And they were going round the doors and they were knocking doors, speaking to people, inviting them along to the gospel mission. And there was this gentleman from the village up there, and he said to the Reverend Trevor Anderson, who it was, he says, you see that big BMW outside my door? He says, that's mine. I work hard, and I bought it with my money. That's mine. And come on in here a wee minute. You see that big widescreen TV? That's mine. And that washing machine, and that dishwasher, and that large American fridge, that's all mine. I bought it with my money. What do I need God for? And you know, on the whole, that's the mindset of people today. Why do they need God when they think they have all that they need? But they're only thinking of temporal things, aren't they? And we find people like that today who are totally apathetic to the things of God. Second type of people we meet are those who are antagonistic to the things of God. People who come to the door in no uncertain manner and language tell you what to do with yourself. Remember one of our missionaries some time ago knocked a door. He was missionary in Island Street under the shadow of the cranes of Belfast Shipyard. good Protestant district, 100% Protestant, no surrender on the gable ends. The missionary went to the door and this large gentleman came out. All he had on was his trousers and a vest with holes in it and gravy stains down the front. I think you can get the mental picture. The missionary says, I would like to invite you around to the mission hall on a Sunday night. And the big fella says, if you don't get away from my door, he says, I'll eat you. Well, the missionary says, if you eat me, you'll have more brains in your stomach than you have in your head. And then he quickly went down the garden path. But we find more and more in these days, not only people who are apathetic, but antagonistic. I remember getting chased. Actually chased by an outlaw about 90 years of age with a stick. Down his garden path. And when I was a young missionary, I could jump over the gate. I couldn't jump over one now. And I got over the gate and I laughed at myself. I thought it was hilarious. Until I realized this, the soberness of this. Here was an old boy on the brink of eternity, still antagonistic to the things of God. Saw that. Those who are apathetic, those who are antagonistic. But you know the hardest people to reach, believe it or not, are the sympathetic. Those who agree with what we do and what we say. Those wee dears who come to our mission halls week after week and they would put Christians to shame by their attendance. And so we have to make announcements like your clerk had to make this morning, isn't it? I remember the doctor, Reverend John, Mr. Gervin, John Gervin, who was Honorary Secretary of the Belfast City Mission. I remember him saying this even about his own churches. He says people used to come to church on a Sunday morning and the places were packed and they stood outside the doors before they went home and they were all talking and they used to say to themselves, one to another, I'll see you tonight, TV. He says, you know what they're saying now? I'll not see you tonight, TV. There's a lot of truth in that, isn't there? Believers, born again by God's Spirit, absenting themselves from the place of worship on the Lord's Day evening. It's hard to understand. And these wee dears that come to your hall are sympathetic in what we do. You're a great wee lad. We love the work of the city mission. And I believe in God. And I put my envelope in week by week. And I say my prayers, Mr. Brown. And I read my Bible, Mr. Brown. Mrs., are you saved? Well, now, I wouldn't be one of those, you know, born-again Christians, but, you know, I do know nobody any harm. That's a no broken record that we hear. And if we had a pound for every time I heard that, my goodness, we'd keep the mission going afloat for another 100 years. And here's Lydia, down by the riverbank, sympathetic to the cause. You know what I said about Lydia here in Acts 16? She was a worshipper of God. And where was she found? She was at a prayer meeting. She wasn't a Christian. Isn't that amazing? Is it possible for you to be here this morning and you're here to worship God? And you do say your prayers. But you're not a Christian. Nicodemus was somebody like that, wasn't he? Ruler of the Jews. Teacher of the Torah. Member of the Sanhedrin. The Lord had to say to him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. What about Saul of Tarsus? A red-hot zealot for God, rounding up believers, consenting to their death. Not a Christian. Until he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and what a wonderful change in his life was wrought. Cornelius, worshipper of God. Read it for yourselves in the Acts of the Apostles. Cornelius was a very generous man. He wasn't like those Christians, you know, with short arms and long pockets. You give money to the cause. And these are the type of people that we're trying to reach in the city of Belfast. The apathetic, the antagonistic, the sympathetic. Those who go nowhere. A lot of godless people about. George Lunn is a missionary in Glencairn. And there's a wee man that goes to his hall. And you call him Sammy Winters. His nickname's Wee Sammy. You see, if you live in Belfast, you're either one of two things. You're either big or wee. I'm sure you've heard of Big Adrian Adger. Well, that's what he was known as, Big Adrian. I'm known as Wee Bobby. And if you're in between, you're nobody. And here was Wee Sammy Winters. And here was his mate, Big Davy Finn. From the Shankill. And they go down the town there and they give out tracts. Belong to one of our mission halls. And they happened to be down, not so long ago, down at the docks there, at the Salvation Army Hostel outside it. And there was a young woman that Sammy seen, a prostitute. And Sammy approached her and began to talk to her and give her a gospel booklet. With the address and the phone number of the mission on the back. And this is a note that I got on my desk not so long ago. And it says this, I just want you to know, I was given this gospel tract outside the Salvation Army Hostel 3 months ago by a man called Sammy from Glencairn. And through reading it, I came to faith. In Jesus Christ. I just want to thank that man, Sammy, that he had the time and the patience, listen, to listen and talk to someone like me. From G and a streetwalker. That's what it's all about, friends, isn't it? Reaching those who are steeped in sin. And if that's not what it's all about in Brookside, you might as well nail up the doors and go home and eat and drink and be merry. Because this is the aim of the Church of Jesus Christ and this is the aim of the Belfast City Mission. There's a godless that we need to reach. Regardless how stained they are in sin. But thank God we have a gospel that we need to preach. And this is the answer. This is the answer to people's problems. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to remember in your prayers, please, of two missions coming off, and they're both starting next Sunday night. The first one is in Drumhillery and second Keady, down there in Bandit Country. Willie Cairn and George Ferguson are taking that mission. And Stanley and some of our missionaries are going down next Friday to do outreach in that wee village of Keady. Pray for them. As they speak to Roman Catholic folk on the doors about their need of Jesus Christ. Remember George Lunn and I as we start a mission next Sunday evening in Garba Mission Hall facing Main Street Garba Presbyterian. And as all the guys, God willing, tomorrow morning as we meet in Belfast and we all go up to Garva in the minibus and as we swamp the village, not just doing holy postman, sticking the stuff through the doors, but actually knocking the doors and conversing with people, sharing our faith and trying to get them along to the mission. Pray for those missions. There's a gospel that we need to preach. Remember the outreach that we do, the open air services, the door to door work. Remember the work on the bridge. Special meetings took place. I'm sure Stanley is up to date with these things. I just completed a mission there and carried off Presbyterian Church. A mission with a difference. 2 Sundays, it was the normal services. Gospel preaching from the pulpit. During the week, it was in the church halls, more relaxed. Monday night, there was a guy in called George Cohen who talked about Harry Ferguson. I'm sure maybe you've heard of him. Weave the gospel in, and I just give the short address at the end. Tuesday night, it was Matt Baggett, head of PSNI, who's a lovely Christian man, so down to earth, give us testimony, getting saved as a young fellow at Christian camp, serving the Lord now and here in the province. Stephen Baxter on the Wednesday night used to play for the Blues and now manager of Crusaders. Thursday evening, it was a member of Bloomfield Presbyterian, Naomi Long, MP in East Belfast. Tremendous mission. But you know, friends, sometimes we don't realize what we have. Sometimes we're so downcast and so skeptical. We have the Word of God. It's dynamos, it's dynamite. Break them, harden hearts of people in pieces, and change their lives. There's a godless that we need to reach. There's a gospel that we need to preach. But thirdly, there is parameters that we need to breach. You see, God shut the door on Asia. God shut the door in Bithynia. And God opened the door into Macedonia, into Philippi. And here's what it says, that Paul went outside the city walls. And Paul went down to the riverbank where there's a woman's meeting going on. You know what it was like in those days, I'm sure, that, you know, so there was very little mixture between the men and the women. You remember the synagogue, you know how the men sat at one side and the women sat at the other side, and the women weren't allowed to open their mouths. That's not a bad idea, so it's not, man. But that was part and parcel of the worship in those days. And here's Paul breaking down the boundaries, going the extra mile, going outside the city wall, going down to the riverbank, and there was a prayer meeting going on. And he sat down beside them, and he began to gossip the gospel. And the Lord opened Lydia's heart, and her heart opened like a flower to the sun, and the Lord came in. And there's parameters that we need to breach. You know, Stanley and Willie work among people from all over the world. We're living in a different era today, a different age. They're on Sunday, or Saturday rather, the wife trails me down to Belfast for shopping. And I usually stand like other men outside the shop with a face like a lurking spade, looking at my watch, what's keeping her? Listen to the lingo of people as they walk by. You think you're in a holiday destination. All the different languages. Let me tell you, friends, it's marvellous. Absolutely marvellous. We used to send people across these countries. Now they're all here. And the church needs to have a strategy, but not only a strategy, but action to reach them for the Lord. I remember George Ferguson sent me up to Churchtown Presbyterian Church a lot of years ago. He says, Bobby, go up and tell them about the work of the mission. I says, dead on. I says, George, by the way, where is Churchtown? He says, Tom Local Crilla. He says, excuse me? He says, Tom Local Crilla. I thought he was talking in tongues. I'd never heard of it, honestly. And he told me where it was. And I went up this Wednesday night, typical Northern Ireland night, dark and nice Maria. Up through Randallstown, up through Port Glenone, heading towards Clady. I went away through it, I got lost. Heading back, trying to find where my turn off was, up the Innisrush, couldn't find it. Seen this wee huckster of a garage side of the road, like a wee hillbilly garage. One pump outside it. Wee hut. Seen the light on. This guy comes out, jumps out of the car, runs over. I says, excuse me, mate, could you tell me where Tom Little Crowley is? And he looked up at me as if I wasn't wise. He says, I'm from Poland. I thought I was lost. He was worse. But that's the province that we're living in today. And there's a great need out there. Let me tell you, where I live in the Craigor Road, Woodstock Road, there's a chapel called St. Anthony's. And there's a few Roman Catholic people live around the area, and they go regularly on a Saturday night mass. But you see this last couple of years, with the Poles flooding in around East Belfast, they've actually had to have two services, and they've actually employed a Polish priest. What a challenge for the church. What a challenge for the mission. But there's parameters we need to breach. We need to get beyond our wee foibles, our sectarianism, our bigotry. Remember God sent Jonah to Nineveh? He wasn't having none of that. You know what Jonah's problem was? He was a bigot. He was a red hot Jew. They didn't kick my right foot. They were Gentile dogs. I'm not going there. You know the story about that. When Jonah turned his back on God, he went down, you know. You read it for yourselves. He went down to Joppa. He went down into the ship. He went down into the sea. He went down into the fish's belly. You turn away from God, you go down. He was a bigot. And maybe we have, maybe just the way we were brought up. When I was a child growing up, I never seen a person. Never seen a person with black skin. That was a novelty if you did. And here we are. It's 21st century. In the situation that we find ourselves. And we're sitting on our hands. And they're lost. And we need to reach them. Finally, there's a God that we need to beseech. The God that opens hearts. The God that opens hearts. Remember the work of City Mission. You know, it's great when we meet together on a Friday morning. We have a prayer time and we have a sharing time. Maybe around a wee cup of tea. And it doesn't happen every week, but it's great news when we hear of some dear soul coming to know the Lord Jesus as their own and personal Saviour. It encourages your heart, doesn't it? To hear this good news. Like we're maybe not seeing souls saved the way we've seen them even 30 years ago. But this I finish. I remember I'm converted 33 years. And I was saved in 78. And it was the next year, 1979. And there was a mission in East Belfast in the Iron Hall, Templemore Avenue. And the evangelist for the fortnight was a pastor, Willie Mullen. And the place was absolutely jumping every night. And they were queuing up to get in, down the street and sneaking up another street. And I remember one night the pastor, Pastor Jack Mitchell, said to the believers in the church to go home and pray to let the unsaved in. 30 years ago. And over 100 souls were saved in that fortnight. Living in different days, aren't we? Would to God that God would come down in power and might. Stir his people up again. Get ourselves right. The unsaved might see in us a change and a difference. That they might see in us salt that will give them a thirst for God. That they might see in us light. They might see their own darkness. Remember the work of City Mission. I know you will. Take a wee booklet. Pray through it. The names of the missionaries. Value your prayers. Thank you for time this morning coming out and listening. Pray the Lord might bless you for blessing us. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Our loving Father, we thank you for this time together. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless the work of City Mission. Remember the men on the ground at the coalface. Remember our wives and our children. Remember all of our workers, our caretakers. May we never ever take any for granted. Father, meet our needs, we pray of thee, in the coming days. That we may continue to reach out and to stretch further out and enlarge our coast, Lord. Help us, Lord, to break barriers down and move where we've never moved before. That we may win the loss for Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.